Hey everybody, welcome back to the Husky Fan Podcast. We did too much prep for this pod and we're just throwing it all out the window, so we're gonna shoot from the hip. Jimmy the Gent, How are you, brother? And I should say it's great to hear the sound of your voice.
Hey, it's the type of holiday season that we haven't been able to experience for quite some time where we get bonus football, the ultimate bonus football. So everything should be a little bit brighter this Christmas for all us Husky fans out there. So that being said, I'm good. You know, it's a little dark for my tastes. You know, I like it. I don't appreciate it getting dark at 4 o'clock, but like I said, everything's a little bit better with where we are, with what's coming up on January 1.
Oh yeah. Yeah. In regards to the darkness, you got to get one of those light boxes that helps
Happy light.
Seasonal affective disorder. I hear
that's right. Yeah.
But
isn't it seasonal depression or something?
It's pretty shitty when you're working at your desk and you just look out the window in the middle of the afternoon and you can just tell, oh, it's going to get dark pretty soon.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's not the best. I could do without, but what are we going to do, buddy? It's our situation.
Yeah, such is a fact of life.
That's right.
But yeah, it's great that we are in the Final Four. A little pet peeve, like they're going to the playoff or they're in the playoffs. I don't know if I said this in the last pod, but can we just say the Final Four? Like, oh, yes. they're in the playoffs. Like there's every sport, too many teams make the playoffs. There's too many teams in the playoffs next year, 12. It's way too many. I just feel like it downgrades the accomplishment.
I think six teams is fine. Like let's say it was six teams this year. You'd have Georgia and Florida State in the top six. And okay. You know, who's going to gripe after that? Those six, you know? But it's the amount of money that's going to be driven by 12. It's just, you know, it's more commercials, more tickets.
But my gripe is calling it the playoff, I think, diminishes the accomplishment.
Yeah, I get it. I understand. Well, that's why we need to see the Dogs win it all so that we can say, you know, Pac-12, the end of the Pac-12 era champs. The end of the era of the Final Four, and Washington goes 15-0. 15-0.
I don't know how I'm going to feel watching the Sugar Bowl. As you know, I am going. You know, shout out to everybody who's going to be able to make that. I don't know how. Yeah, that's going to be interesting watching.
I did not
games.
Know you were going to make the Sugar Bowl. You told me you were looking, but you never told me.
Maybe your memory's gone. I think I told you
no,
I was going.
You didn't. You did not. No.
Well, I guess it's
you told
my
me
memory.
You were looking for tickets. I'm holding out for Houston. We'll see. I mean, if Michigan Husky can't get tickets through UW. But it does look like that's a high probability right now. If that doesn't happen, then I'm going to have to figure out how to get down there. But right now, the flights into New Orleans are exponential. And I would have to buy a ticket, so I don't know.
Yeah, they're absolutely awful. But, yeah, in regards to the game in Houston, we are thinking about, you know, presuming – we beat Texas. We are thinking of just staying down there, you know, getting a rental car, driving to Houston, maybe, you know, check out San Antonio or Austin for a day or two to kill some time.
That's the way to go. That's the way to go. I'm booked into Dallas and it's going to be a drive to Dallas and to Houston. So that's
how long
my
of a drive is that?
4 hours.
That's not bad.
No, it's two. That's nothing. Nothing. There'll be a small crew of us, so, you know, it'll go by quick. tell old glory day stories on the drive down. But look, there's lots needs to be done before we can start, getting too cocky.
Right. I mean, I said presuming we win. So I'm not.
I know you did, but I'm getting way ahead of myself here. I'm thinking as if they've already won, and I'm picturing being in that stadium for the national title. But yeah, I a lot of us feel that way, I'm sure, right? I mean, I'm sure Texas fans feel the same way because they're pretty cocky about this game.
Yeah. Now, there's a couple of newsy things we have to talk about. First thing, Zach Durfee finally eligible for this game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. You caught Brock's comments, which are really revealing. I mean, he was sharing. Kalen DeBoer was hyping Durfee up in the middle of the season, like, "Oh, you got to check out this guy. Watch this guy
this
right
baller.
There.
He's a baller.
Yeah, he's a baller." And you, all the guys on the team, not all the guys, but many of the guys on the team on Twitter, they're tweeting free Durf. So it's clear that this guy's a player. This guy's going to be good. I think we can reasonably say he's going to be a force next season, but Jimmy, you don't know. I mean, he has to be good immediately to have any impact on this season. Like that's what sucks, is if we had this guy at the beginning of the season and it took him, two, three, four games to get going, and then he starts getting sacks and, maybe he's our second best pass rusher or edge player, that's all great. But that's my concern right now is, yeah, he could be really good, but maybe not immediately, which is what we need right now.
Well, Michigan Husky is very sensitive about all the hype around Durfee. He feels like there's too much pressure on the kid already, and that what can you expect out of this guy? So, I want to be respectful of Michigan Husky out there. I don't want to pump him up too much, but I did. And quick shout out to Michigan Husky. After his big wager in Vegas, I forgot to mention he did buy us all dinner that night, steak dinner. So. Shout out to Michigan Husky for placing a ballsy bet and then buying dinner for the crew. So, but here's the thing on Durf. I watched this film, his highlights on YouTube. I don't know if you had an opportunity to view them yourself. But the guy's motor is phenomenal, unreal. I mean, I understand he's not playing against P5 talent. But you could tell that the guy is just an animal. He's 0 to 100, a snap of a finger. Great explosion off the line. He's got an unbelievable spin move. And I don't remember which lineman, I think it was Faltanu, mentioned that he has a couple moves that not even, the starters have. And here's the thing, like the hype around Durfee was truly started by the players who might have a little bit more insight than just the average blowhard fan like myself.
Yeah, and me too.
Yeah, so when the hype comes from the players, and even out of fall camp, it was in the papers. So I don't think it was like the fan base or message boards that were hyping this guy up. It was the coaches and the players. So when you have guys that clearly see that this guy can play, sure gets me excited. And to your point, yeah, can it be an immediate impact against Texas? Now there is the angle of that Texas has no film on the guy, virtually no film. They don't know how UW can use him. Does he take just some snaps away from Afoa? And where do they line him up? How do they integrate him with Trice and ZTF? Are all three of them on the field? So there's that element of Texas has no idea what this guy's bringing to the table. And granted, he hasn't played. So, he go out there and, like, to your point, not be able to do much just because it's not he's been obviously practicing, but it's not live game action. But I'm going on the side that he's going to help this team immediately. The question is, how many snaps is he going to get? I mean, we saw Holtzclaw. He got one snap. He got one sack. And then we haven't seen him since. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what if he doesn't even play at all? He might not even get a snap against Texas. But that
I do have some intel on that. Like, they're – like, you forgot I told you. They're estimating he could play, like, a similar amount of snaps as Sakai plays, which –
I thought you were just saying that out of, like, that was your opinion.
No, that was actually intel.
Okay. Gotcha. So what did you say? That's 15 to 25 snaps?
Yeah, something like, I mean, there's some games where he played as much as 35 snaps earlier in the season. And there's, I think, I'm pulling this up right now, Pac-12 championship game, he played 15. Jacob Lane also played 12. So Trice played 56, ZTF played 43, Voight Tanufi played 17. But that's with Durfee, then they can move Voight back inside. So that also helps. Yeah, and I'm just going through text messages, because I remember we were talking about it in the off season, and yeah, he was getting a lot of pub in the spring. The ghost of Dennis DeYoung, April 1st, he said, if Durfee is good, we can beat anyone. And then texting with Sub K, he said Durfee is amazing a week later.
Well, his physique alone is incredible. And the dude looks jacked. You know, he's got the bulging thighs. He's got the bulging biceps.
That's not the only thing that's bulging.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry.
He has the unrelenting motor. The dude goes 0 to 100 the whole time. I mean, he plays to the whistle as hard as he can go. So I can't wait to see this guy. I mean, his explosion off the line. Now, I don't know if it's just because of who he was playing against, it looked like, but I mean, he was close to like shooting out of a cannon on the footage. So for me, I can't wait to see. I know Michigan Huskies, you know, he wants to see it before he starts, you know, crowning his ass, so to speak. Yeah,
I have a video, like picture day, I have a video with him and a photo. I'll send it to you later.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll look forward to that.
But yeah, I mean, it's just maybe we could get lucky and he's just going to hit immediately when he gets on the field. Cause like you were saying, sometimes it takes people a little time.
Oh, sure.
But maybe
understandable.
Maybe we get lucky and he gets out there and it's like, wow, he's our second best pass rusher. I think at worst, the people who are not trying to hype him up, they're probably saying he's our third best pass rusher. Cause I think some guys in the Discord, you know, who do have intel, like they were hinting in the spring that maybe he could be our second best pass rusher.
Well, what I would find interesting is if they got Trice and Durfee on the edges, and then they put ZTF in the middle. Like, I don't remember if you remember that play where they had ZTF standing up middle of the D-line, just off the line. And he, like, backed off, and Nix thought he had a lane, and Trice came in with, like, a twist.
Yeah.
No, into the middle,
you called it. I have to scratch your back because you called that, brother. You were talking about how we're going to use Trice. What was your call that pressure. We were going to use Trice in the middle a few times.
Well, that we were going to get some inside pressure.
That was a big play. That was a big play in the game. That was a third down play, right?
It was a third down play. Yeah. And quickly to touch, we were having some back and forth. It was the final drive, scoring drive for Washington, where Polk had the two big catches in a row. He had the one down on the right of the sideline against the safety, and then he had that one on the left-hand side going down on that final score of the game, the Quentin Moore touchdown. Polk had two huge catches on that drive. I know we were going back and forth on trying to pick apart those plays.
Right. But back to Durfee. I mean, because if you compare this team to last year, last year's team, of course, at the end of the year was getting a lot better. You know, the run game improved a lot. And, you know, the defense was getting better. But having those pass rushers, I mean, Jeremiah Martin was really good. I mean, no brainer. You know, having him and Trice, that helped our defense. Because statistically, our defense, it was all pressure and sacks. Other than that, we talked about at the beginning of the season, it was shitty in every other category. And this year, it's basically made massive improvement in most of these places. The one place it didn't improve or it got worse was pass rush, edge pressure. And so if we would have had Durfee, you know, that would have, wow, our defense would have, maybe with Durfee, you know, I said in FEI, our defense is number 27. Maybe if we had Durfee the whole season, our defense would be, you know, number 20, perhaps.
Yeah. Well, look, and you know, we talk about the trending up of the D. Think about, and I don't think we talked about it, but think about how they literally shut down Oregon's offense. I mean, they had 308 total yards in the game. They had 269 yards passing and I think 69 yards rushing. So it was like 300 something yards for the game.
And how many did they have before that easy score they got? The last score they got, what? They must have had like, what, 230 or 240 yards?
Knicks only had 169 yards passing before that pass play. That's it. And that yardage was all yak, basically. I mean, it was probably like a 20, probably threw the ball 20 yards. And the guy ran the rest of the way.
Yeah. The other thing about that game, and I'm not, of course, we played great. I'm not saying it was like a C performance, but Oregon, a lot of the plays they made were just mistakes on our part. Like remember when the one play when Knicks, he had that really long run. I think it was probably the second when they took the, I don't know what happened, but one of our edge guys, maybe it was Trice, they kind of, it just looked like they were out of position, or Trice was really aggressively going for the sack instead of playing contain. Mm-hmm. You have that. You have like the penalty that they needed that helped them score at the end of the half. You know, we mentioned they had they scored on a fourth down. They had they scored on a fourth and goal. They converted a fourth down. One of their other drives, like they converted, you know, multiple third down. Like, you know, they, when they scored, like we made our own mistake, or like they really, you know, like if they didn't get that score, you know, they would have given the ball back or it would have cost them points. Whereas, with respect to us, like we were just making good plays because we were the better team. You know, and we had the better players.
Absolutely. And what was Oregon, and all the talk was, and I know we're getting off topic, but you know, how explosive they were and how they were just tearing up other teams, and what did our defense do? I mean, they pretty much just shut them down.
But Bucky Irving, 9 carries for 20 yards. Are you effing kidding me?
No, it's mind-boggling. No, it's truly unbelievable.
And I was thinking about another team that we could, you know, I gave all those examples of championship teams that are kind of going through the motions. And then when they got to the end point, then they really played their best. Like they had their best performance. Think about Clemson in 2016, like in the metrics, they were not, you know, they ended up beating Alabama. You know, they did have a fortunate no call there at the end. And that Alabama team who we lost to was a fucking juggernaut. Like they were, that team was just ridiculous. And Clemson did not look that great. Remember, Clemson, they lost to Alabama the year before in the national championship. And if you look at their metrics in 2016, like, they were not that high. They had, like, they lost a game. They like, should have lost another game. They had, I think, several close wins. So they really did not look that great. Then they get to the playoff. Remember, they beat Ohio State, like, 30-0.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then, of course, they beat that juggernaut Alabama team. So, you know, I know I could have. It was just another example that popped in my head. And so, you know, our performance against Oregon, who people thought, like, oh, that team could win the national championship. I mean, you know, we easily could have won that game by 10 points.
And Booger basically said that, you know, it was a bunch of girls playing basketball on the field that beat Oregon. I mean, that's what he was talking about. How, well, you can't, well, they're going to have to play big boy football against Texas. You know, it's not going to be basketball on grass. It's like, what?
Yeah. Fucking moron.
Okay. But, okay. So, yeah. Oh, Washington is, plays basketball on grass. That's a load of shit.
Booger, when Booger McFarland, when we were watching the, when Booger McFarland came on the TV at halftime, Mrs. Chess said, "Is that Shaq?" I said, no, it's not. I said, it's not Shaq, but he did play for LSU. Just like generic big black guy on TV. Oh, is that Shaq?
And what? Why on earth would you call yourself Booger? That yeah, it just blows my mind. Yeah, who would want to go by Booger?
Booger, like, he was giving us props even after the first Oregon game. I mean, it was like this commentary after the second game, during the second game, it was a repeat. And still, he's like, oh, there's just basketball on grass. Like, they're not physical.
I know, and he was commenting, yeah, like you said, at halftime, he was commenting about how physical Washington was in the game. So it's like, okay, so this team's not going to be physical when they play Texas. I mean, Texas has big guys. I mean, there's no question. Sweat's a monster.
Yeah, but look, Wayne Talapapa ran on Texas last year.
Yeah, and it's like, do you think Washington's just going to run right at him every play? I mean, that toss sweep that they have for Dylan Johnson, and how they seal the edge and block. I mean, it's not like they're just going to, like, we're going to run at Sweat all day long. It's not like they have one run play. It's just funny to me, like, because that's a lot of Texas fans. Like, well, they're just going to shut down the run. Washington won't be able to run. Okay, well, we'll see. We'll see. That's fine. Well, we'll just have McMillan and Bernard, you know, death by a thousand cuts you down the field.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, I have not watched, I mean, too many predictions.
Yeah.
I will say, I think the people that have been, like, Joel Klatt, I mean, he hasn't made a pick yet, but I think he's probably going to pick Washington. That's what it sounds like.
It does.
Josh Pate, not that he means anything, but he said, oh, I think this game is in Washington's wheelhouse. The Barstool, they have three or four guys. They picked Washington. I think all of them except for one guy. But yeah, those are the only the only ones that I've seen pick Washington. Yeah, but Texas is a more complete. I mean, God, there's been a couple that have just been like Brady Quinn. He did a really nice job, I think, calling our games, you know, in the Peterson years. Really enjoyed him and I think Joe Davis. They did a great job calling those. I mean, the guy had, like, some of the worst analysis that I've ever heard. You know, he was saying, oh, Washington, you know, Texas is a more balanced team. They're way more physical. You know, Washington's one dimensional. They're not physical. I mean, just awful, Brady. Just terrible.
What is he talking about? Does he even watch?
And then these people who are still like, oh, well, Washington's, like, their pass defense is 98th. Like, as if these stats mean anything. Like, they don't. They don't. I mean, look, the people were looking at the stats and they told you, oh, well, Oregon's going to, you know, Oregon's more physical. You know, Washington's defense has no chance. And look at how we played. So, you know, the stats really don't mean that much at this point.
No, they don't. And
And don't they have a couple? Don't they have a couple guys who are injured too? Like they lost their running back. I mean, Xavier Worthy had an injury the last game. I mean,
yeah.
We are the healthiest we've ever been. You know, knock on wood. Hope that you know nobody gets hurt in practice. But I mean,
Well,
we are the healthiest we've been all season, and we're gonna have Durfee.
And we're gonna have Durfee. Yeah, it's puzzling the disrespect Washington's getting when, like, the week prior, Oregon, many people were positioning them to make the run at the national title and how they were viewed unstoppable, and then Washington punches them in the mouth, and then the story narrative changes. Like, well, Washington's not this, they're not that. Texas is, you know, this and that. It's very strange. And the Texas fans will tell you that there's no drop off from, I think his name was Brooks, the running back who they lost. And they said, there's no drop off with the backups. Okay. Well, the guy had 1,200 yards rushing before he got hurt. So clearly he was their go-to guy. I know that guy Blue. I think his name's Blue. They like him a lot at running back, but they have a freshman corner. Their safety, who's out two quarters, is a freshman. I think he was a five-star though, but he's out for the first half of the game. So yeah, I mean they got guys that are not playing, but they mentioned they called out a bunch of guys who didn't play in the Alamo Bowl, and but all of those guys are back. So
Really?
there's a number of guys. Someone listed it in one of those threads on Hardcore about a number of guys who didn't play. I don't know if they didn't play because they were injured or what the situation was, but yeah, a number of guys did not
But
play
I
last
think,
year. That
I mean, two or three of them were because they were going to the draft.
well, yeah, a few of them were, but there was a list of guys that are were still on the team that didn't play that will play in this game. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, Washington played a tougher schedule throughout the year.
Yeah, I don't think, and the one, I mean, I'm not trying to downgrade them, even though it sounds like it. Alabama was a much different team when they beat them. They did not beat the Alabama right now.
Well, Milroe wasn't playing nearly at the level he's playing now. But there's
Right.
some guy arguing that he was. And it's like, no, I watched that game. I actually watched that game. Milroe was not good. Milroe was not very good for a number of games early on. And there was talk about how, you know, I think he got pulled. I think Saban pulled him for a game, if I'm not mistaken. He didn't start one of the games. I think it was after Texas. I can't remember, but one portion of early in the season, Milroe did not start. And it was like a learning lesson. I remember hearing Saban talking about it. So Milroe is not nearly the guy that he is now. But I mean, credit to Texas. That's a big win on the road.
Yeah, no,
That's a good win.
it's a great win for sure.
Yeah, can't. But you know, in another angle that I think Brock touched upon it briefly, but coaching. Which coaching staff are you going to take? Some of these shit talkers about Texas. It's think about this, Chess. Who do you want? Do you want Ewers or do you want Bo Nix? Do you want the Oregon running backs, Jordan James or Bucky Irvin, or do you want the Texas running backs? Now, Worthy and Franklin, maybe we got an argument, but it's not like it's funny. They talk about how good they are at all these positions. Well, Washington beat the Pac-12 player of the year, offensive player of the year, Bo Nix. Do you want Nix or Ewers? I mean, I would probably take Nix over Ewers personally. He's a dual threat guy.
Yeah, the other thing about Ewers, he's a little injury prone.
He
And
gets nicked up.
their backup is now transferring. He's going to the portal. So you know who their new backup is, Arch Manning.
Oh, So the backup quarterback, he's not going to be, because, you know, obviously Demo there is going to play through. Grubb said Demo's staying.
I don't think Malik Murphy, I don't think he's remaining with the team, but that's not confirmed.
Wow. Well, that's wild.
It sounds like
that's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, that means, you know, you got to get after him early. But apparently, you know, Washington can't play football.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Oh, but that's the prediction. Durfee gets in there and his first contact, his first sack, is he injures what's his name? Ewers. Mr. Mullet.
Are we going to root for injuries?
Yeah.
We're not rooting for injuries.
No, we're not. But I'm just saying, like, crazy prediction. Durfee injures Ewers. And you know, their backup. He injures Ewers, like, on the first possession of the game. Then we'll end up winning by 20. And then they'll be complaining that, you know, that guy never should have been eligible.
Yeah. It's cheating. They cheated. I don't even know if Arch Manning, I think there's rumblings about Arch Manning leaving Texas. It sounds like he might be a little bit of a Sam Heward type of player. Not sure he's quite living it up to the hype. But how could you live up to the insane hype of being a kid of a Manning?
Yeah, it's absurd.
Yeah. So I would venture to give the kid a few years. But either way, yeah, I mean.
But that's he's going to be the backup.
That's unbelievable. That's crazy. Has he even gotten any snaps this year?
Yeah, Arch Manning will officially move into the backup role as Texas enters college football playoff.
Incredible. Wow. I'd be curious to know if he's even gotten any, like, live snaps. Could you imagine you, like, coming in as the backup your first game? It's the final four game.
Yeah, I'm looking it up if he's played. He was 2 for 5 for 30 yards against Texas Tech.
Oh, okay. Yeah, obviously they put him in when the game was out of reach. Interesting.
Yeah, they won that 57-7.
Yeah, I smoked him. Yeah, that's another reason I think, you know, people think this Texas is unstoppable. But, you know, to your point, Texas Tech, very porous in the back end defensively. And I think, well, we know for a fact that the Washington defense is not getting any props, any love. You know, they're just looking at, they're not very good.
Yeah, now, credit to, what's the guy's name? Dave Portnoy, Barstool guy, who is also a blowhard, like we are. But yeah. he did say Washington's defense has gotten better the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Mm. Well, maybe he's paying attention.
Yeah, he's a Michigan guy, so he said Washington's the second best team in this playoff.
But who's his number one? Well, Michigan, obviously.
Michigan, of course.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Asa, you know, getting Asa more rest. This defense is better with Asa. Cam Fab playing much better. You know, the one thing I noticed about Cam Fab is he looks a little more stout. Because to me, in the past, he looked pretty lean. It looks like he's definitely put on muscle. He's a guy that you could say he's, you know, he's passed the eye test a little bit. He's definitely put on a little bit more weight and muscle, because I recall him being pretty lean. And some close up shots of him, he's definitely put on some muscle. So that kid's put in some work. He was a 3-star corner, right, out of high school.
Actually, he was actually a 4. Yeah, you're right. He was actually 4-star though.
He was a 4-star.
Yeah, I was looking up our 2019. By the way, our 2019 recruiting class, I'll look that up in a second. But yeah, Cam Fab is a freshman. He was only 6'1", 181. Now he's preseason, he was 6'1", 196.
Okay, so yeah, he's put on, yeah, I mean, 15, 16 pounds. It shows. It definitely shows. He looks definitely more stout than I remember.
Yeah, I'm surprised. Did he, like, yeah, I guess.
Are you sure
he was
a four-star? He was really a four-star?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, let me look that up. Yeah, no, he, I guess he didn't. I'd have to look up the number of snaps that he played, but yeah, he didn't. I mean, he statistically, he doesn't have a ton of stats, but he always makes an impact, it seems like.
Well, he had some pass breakups, if I recall, early in the year. You could just tell he was a lot better than he was before. Like, he had a little bit of the vibe of a Jag, and I think he's shedding that.
Oh, totally. And no, he had some huge plays.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he was a four-star. So wow. listen to the 2019 recruiting class.
Right.
Okay. Puka Nacua, Jacob Bandis, Trent McDuffie, Leiatu Latu, Fatui Tuitele, Daniel Haimuli, Asa Turner, Troy Fautanu, Cam Fabikulainen, Josh Calvert, Dylan Morris, Julius Bulow, Cam Williams, Cam Davis, Nate Kalepo, Asama Pama, who retired, but I guess he's playing one of those pro. He came back, he's playing one of those,
all right,
you know, pro. Miki Ayu, Noah Nagalu, Taj Davis, Braylon Trice, Corey Luciano, Alfonso Tupatala, Tim Horn.
Wow. Yeah.
That's a pretty, wow. I mean, there's quite a bit of NFL players in this class. Of course, you know, Puka transferred, Latu, you know, the medical thing.
Then
McDuffie left early, but yeah. That's
I mean, you had a stud, you have three superstars. Like, Trent McDuffie's one of the best corners in the NFL now, and Puka Nacua had a monster rookie season for the Rams, and then you have Latu, who, you know, defensive player of the year,
Lombardi Trice Award and Latu.
Remember how excited we were for Latu as a freshman, watching him out there just blowing people up as a freshman, just crushing people?
Yeah.
And then he has the neck injury, and then the medical staff doesn't clear him, and then he leaves and goes to UCLA. Oh.
And he didn't want to leave. I mean, remember, when he medically retired, he stayed with the team through that shitty 21 season. He had to play again.
Oh, so painful, man.
Yeah.
What are we doing? Why would there? I mean, UCLA allegedly has a great medical program. What, couldn't they have gotten a second opinion? I know it doesn't matter now, but my God, could you imagine this team with Latu?
That's a national champion.
Yes. Yeah, you're going to be.
You have the number one offense with that defense. With, I mean, basically two. I mean, you have two All-American edge rushers, and then you have Thule's really underrated. Also, I mean, another. You know, you look at the all conference teams, and that stuff is, it's good and helpful, but there's some guys that they don't play enough games, or they don't have the numbers, like Cam Fab, for example. But Thule's another guy who fits into that. Like, Thule is really good. Like, he's a first team all conference defensive lineman. You have Thule, and you have those two fucking edge guys. I mean, we would have had a top 20 defense.
Yeah, well,
I mean, certainly. we would be as good as 2019 LSU.
I mean, that's the thing. If you had two guys like that, every position group gets better. If you have Latu on the other side of Trice, your secondary immediately gets better.
Yeah, because remember last year, 11-2, and with the defense, I think in FEI was number 85. And yes, it was better at the end of the year. But again, you had the pass rushers. Like, that's all. I mean, you have a good offense and you have pass rushers, Even if we had Jeremiah Martin, like even if we had him this year, if Jimbo Fisher, who's a fucking moron, I'm sorry, but he is, he burned Martin's red shirt the same way Sark burned Joe Mathis's red shirt in 2013. Oh, just throw him out there and see what he can do. Like, burn the guy's red shirt for no fucking reason. Just idiot. But yeah, Jimmy, even with that, if we had Durfee, I mean, given what we've heard about Durfee, you know, maybe he's like 80% of the player that Jeremiah Martin is, you know, or 75% of even with a guy like Durfee, he could have made a huge difference. And so, yeah, circling back to the present, you know, having Durfee now, that's going to be huge if he makes a huge difference the first game.
Yeah, he's an X factor in this game. Both teams, Texas doesn't have an X factor guy. Washington has a guy that, you know, is internally hyped up big time, who believe that he can make an immediate impact. And Texas virtually has no film on the guy. Now, obviously, they're going to be able to find his D2 highlights, but it's not going to be the same.
Yeah. Let's, before we close this down, let's run into questions. Yep.
Okay. Let's do it.
Because this will give us question more content. Time. Okay. With transfers being unrestricted, who would you want to transfer in to add some depth to the Sugar Bowl roster? I'm not sure you could do that unless you would need someone to leave, right?
I don't know if you could do that. That did cross my mind. Like, could you have someone? I don't think you could do that, though. I'm sure we have some scholarships we could dole out. I mean, can you just bring a guy on the team and have him play? I don't think so. But it's a good question.
Yeah, just get a guy to walk on and
lock to.
Wait, you'd need somebody to quit the team, basically.
Yeah,
the roster. That's why, I mean, Durfee's been on the roster, so.
Right.
All right, next question. Huskies football 13-0 and owning Oregon. Basketball beat Gonzaga. Even Jake Browning is a good NFL QB. George Clooney has a movie about UW Brewing. Is this the 1991 of Dugan in social media era?
No, don't forget the UW basketball team beat number 21 Washington State in the Pac-12 opener.
The men's or the women's team?
The women's. The men's beat Gonzaga. The women's basketball team beat Washington State, who's ranked 21. Then you have the Clooney movie. Then you have 13-0. So yeah, I mean, it's a great year for if you're an all sport Husky fan. I'm a Husky football fan. I loved the basketball under the early Romar days when it was a lot of fun and awesome. I haven't been what you could say. I'm not dialed in at all in UW hoops. And Hopkins has killed all my any slight desire to watch. But I didn't see the Zags win. But obviously, big, huge win. The Zags had a 16-game win streak against the Pac-12 before that loss. And the Gonzaga fans hate Washington basketball with a passion.
Yeah, so, it's like the Oregon fans.
It is. I there's no love lost here if I see Zag fans crying in their cereal.
You know, I forgot to make a joke, a wellness checks joke about Oregon fans on the last pod. I guess our wellness checks company hasn't gotten off the floor yet.
No, we're still working out the details.
Now, can we give a shout out to our amazing special teams? A huge upgrade from Sark era and even Peterson era regarding clutch kicking. Special teams very quietly won the Oregon game. Gross was 2 for 2, plus Bernard early momentum, 32-yard punt return, setting up first TD. Not only special teams also won the ASU game.
Yeah, and Nada has had some great kickoff returns. And they don't let guys – I mean, you got that maniac kamikaze, Himes, number 45.
Yeah.
And Tristan Dunn, who's lit up some guys, too, on special teams. You have some guys that that are looking to put the hurt on kick returners. So yeah, it's a special teams, man. Like, yeah, it's easy to forget about them, but they've definitely been huge. And perfect, you know, snaps on punts too. We haven't had any issues with, you know, snaps with punting. I mean, it's been a great year for special teams.
And I think we only had one punt in that game.
For Oregon?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it McAllister, our punter?
Yeah. No relation to Kevin McAllister, no, to make a Home Alone joke.
Yeah. He could do a little better. He's been a little inconsistent. True.
What's your favorite Christmas movie?
Christmas Story. The Christmas Story.
Nice. I'm a Home Alone guy.
Yeah, no, it's a good one, but I've watched that one so many times. Christmas. Is it A Christmas Story or The Christmas Story? TNT plays it on repeat every year, I think 24 hours a day.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, special teams. Sorry. Yeah, sorry to cut you off.
You're back to special teams. He asked me about the movie. Yeah,
I know. I'm jumping all over the place.
It's A Christmas Story, I'm pretty sure. But yeah, anyway.
But special teams. Yeah, that 32-yard punt return from Jeremy Bernard. That set up. He's right. That set up the first TD because we were at 3-0. You stopped there, and boom. Remember the field position.
Yeah, it changed.
We're already like it. I was going to say halftime or halfway or midfield. The 50-yard line. I mean, that's for this offense, that's huge. That's like you're already in the red zone.
Yeah, no, that was massive.
Yeah, so our special teams have quietly been good all year. Also, I think when the USC game was tied was it the beginning of the fourth quarter, Gross made a field goal. It was, 38 yards, something like that?
Yes.
I mean, that was also a big make. So good, like not just like okay or like decent special team. We've had very good special teams. Like that's also a reason we're 13-0. Without that level of special teams, you know, we might have a loss or two.
Yeah, I mean, it's been as good as I can remember.
Yeah, the returns have been good. You mentioned Nagata. And also, like, the other – we haven't given up a big return, like, all year.
No, we haven't. We haven't.
And you're right about just hitting guys on special teams, like, when they're trying to make these returns.
Oh, no, there's guys looking for their missiles out there. Hines and Dunn love hitting. Yeah,
that physicality is very important.
No, absolutely. Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Next question. When am I invited on?
Who is this?
I don't know. Days since O beat U Dub.
Well, we have to give him a test run.
Yeah. Who's the best recruiter on DeBoer's staff?
Courtney Morgan.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What will it take for a Washington kid to win a Heisman? And general thoughts on the politics and credibility of the Heisman?
You know, I think one thing that proved with this year is that it's not about the best player. It's about the best stats. A quarter of Jaden McDaniels' touchdowns came from like two scrub squads. He threw 8 touchdowns against Georgia State. They were up, 35 points in the fourth quarter, and he threw a 50-yard touchdown pass for his 8th TD in that game. Yeah, I mean, he rushed for 1,000 yards. I get it. But I just don't know how. And if you looked at some of the breakdown of the voting and who gets to vote, I mean, it's a joke. There were a number of voters that didn't even have Penix in the top 3 of people they voted for.
I guess it was just a coincidence that they were in the same region that Jaden Daniels is.
Yeah, I mean, it's stupid. I mean, it's, and when you watch, and I never watched those ceremonies. I just don't have any interest, but obviously I watched it because of Penix. But he came off as the best guy out there, and you could tell RG3 loves him. And, you know, he asked Penix to open up the jacket and show all the coaches and players' name, which is just the biggest baller move. And in my book, you know, Penix, he's my favorite Husky of all time. I think he's the GOAT. He's Leap, Lawyer, Malloy, Tui, and Gaskin. For me, he is number one. That sealed the deal for me. But did you hear RG3? I don't know if you watch it, but he asked Bo. He's like, Bo, what do you have inside your jacket? Bo's like, nothing, unfortunately, or something like that. It's like Penix just put himself on such a different level against those guys. I mean, Marvin Harris Jr. had no business being on there. I mean, that was ridiculous.
That was totally ridiculous.
That was just made. It's because he's Ohio State and Marvin Harris and this kid. I don't know. That was totally bizarre. But Penix separated himself from all of those guys on that stage that night, in my opinion. If you're just like an unbiased person, you're watching that, Penix is the most impressive. And the jacket, and he's wearing the purple suit. And people are giving him shit about not wearing, you know, purple out around New York. And what does he do? Rolls in a baller purple suit with the entire team, you know, on his jacket. Insane. I mean, unreal.
Well, and that is why this team has an incredible culture and incredible intangibles. And that's just not fluff. I mean, we talked about it before the season. It's also why this team went 11-2 last year. You have a guy who comes in, who's the leader and gets the respect of everyone. And, you know, his learning more about him as a person, we know his traits and we see why he's well-liked and why he's such a great leader. And, you know, that kind of a leader, aside from, you know, being really fucking good on the football field. He inspires and he gets the best from everyone around him. And because you need guys like that, or I mean, you need everyone around him to perform well, especially when they're called on to win championships. You know, like we said, the special teams, Grady Gross, you know, making just the special teams against Oregon, you know, Grady Gross making some important kicks against Arizona State, you know, Meech Powell with the pick six against Arizona State. You go back to the Utah game where, you know, we blew the touchdown and then, you know, the next play you get a safety. It's a team effort, and, you know, you need the best from guys that are not your stars, and the leadership of the stars, you know, the right leadership, it gives confidence to the rest of the team and the guys who aren't the stars. And now, I mean, there's another way you could do it. Well, I guess, you know, Michael Jordan did it by just being an asshole to everyone. And, you know, they had really hard practices. You know, they had good cop and bad cop. Like Scottie Pippen was a good cop, you know, MJ was the bad cop. But and it's the same thing with, you know, Tom Brady and his leadership. Like, and I'm not saying Penix is on the same level as those guys, but, you know, why do leaders and winners, like, why do they always win or they're always clutch when it comes down to it? Like, why are the role players in those situations making the plays? It's because the leaders led in the right way that gave the rest of the guys confidence to make those plays. And, you know, Penix does, you know, he clearly does it through, you know, love and respect. And, I mean, and you could see it with, you know, his message to Demo, you know, who's transferring and who's also, he's also staying with the team. I mean, what a great message.
No, it's amazing. And the fact that all these guys returned and, you know, they wanted, you know, Penix said they wanted to be legendary. And it's just wild to think about learning about Rome's situation in Arizona, where everyone was very concerned about that injury he took at the onside kick against Arizona. Like, oh, he's okay, he's okay. And then we find out he's on a 16-hour road trip home with a punctured lung and a broken rib, and then comes up huge against Oregon. And talk about another guy of leadership playing through, you know, what sounds like a punctured lung's no joke. And none of that leaks at the time. No one knew that, you know, he was beaten up. And that's, you know, that's severely in the sense of having a broken rib and a punctured lung. And they just keep battling. I mean, all of the moments this team has to look back on, it's pretty amazing. And I sure love the Penix DeBoer connection too, because they had some good moments in Indiana as well. You're gonna be hard pressed to beat this team with these guys right now. The way they function as a whole.
Yeah, you need to be almost a juggernaut team. You know, you need to be a lot better to beat this team, especially if this team is playing at its peak, at its highest level. And I think that's what we're gonna get in this upcoming Sugar Bowl.
I think so.
No, because they've always played well in the biggest games.
Yeah, they love the bright lights. They've proven it.
And they're the healthiest they've been now.
Yeah, and they get the break. That's just amazing.
Yeah, with the reinforcement of Durfee.
Yes. We got more questions?
Yeah, just I'm going to go through them quick. Okay, if it's not QB, wide receiver, running back, what unit wins the game for the Dogs? If it's not DBs, what unit loses the game for the Dogs? I'd probably say the offensive line.
Yeah, with what they have to contend with. Is that why you say that?
Or what unit will win the game for the Dogs? And then what unit loses the game if it's not the defensive backs?
Well, I guess you could say linebacker and tackling. D-line not being able to stop the run. I mean, all I hear about is how big they are.
Yeah, I'd say offensive line.
For them to win the game, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Or to lose the game.
I mean, I think, it could be both, but I'll say, yeah, that's the unit that wins the game.
Yeah, I think, I think the offensive line for Washington's not getting their due either. I mean, Rosengarten is pretty much snubbed by the Pac-12. He protects Penix's blind side. I think, you know, a lot of people have question marks from the Washington O-line against Texas' front. I think they'll be fine. I mean, Brailsford, he's going to have to, you know, Sweat's 360 pounds.
Are they going to have to double-team?
Yeah, there's probably going to be scenarios, but, you know, I think they'll find ways to – I did read a couple Texas people saying that he tires pretty quickly. So, and I know they mentioned, like, with Kansas State, they got back in the game by throwing the ball, and they weren't letting him sub, and that caused issues for Texas, where it sounds like one issue for Texas is they kind of get tired out by the end of the game.
This coaching staff knows what to do.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it. They'll deal with Sweat. They don't. I'm not worried anymore. It's going to take another team's perfect game to beat Washington right now. I feel like, we'll get more into the game.
Go with the team that has the better quarterback and the better coach.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I made a post about it. The top two players on the field are Penix and Rome, and people say third player is Sweat. You know, you could make an argument for Fautano being the third best player. So
maybe on defense, Braylon Trice, maybe he's the best player on the field.
I mean, yeah, I Texas is getting so much pub about their overall talent, but Washington's got a lot of talent too.
And Texas has not seen an offense like this.
Yeah.
They've not.
They haven't. They haven't. They haven't. And we'll
And we've played yeah. against we've played against, you know, the Oregon juggernaut offense. We played against USC and Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
So we've seen that we've seen better offenses than they've seen.
And we've faced big D lines. I mean, Brock Huard said Oregon had an NFL front D line. Utah had a lot of good guys up front. So, but you know, some guys are, well, they don't, Washington doesn't know SEC football, even though Texas isn't SEC yet. But it's like, it's just this whole idea that it's just different brand of football. Well, the SEC wasn't as good this year either. And this Alabama team, look, they're obviously good. It's Alabama, it's Saban, but it's not like Alabama teams of the past.
It's not a juggernaut.
No. What's next?
All right, a couple things about recruiting. We don't need to talk about that now. You know, is UW recruiting bad or something wrong with the ranking? Well, one thing with the rankings, we tend to have smaller classes, so that makes the rankings look worse. Look, the reality is if you measure on average, like what's your average rating of each recruit in your class, DeBoer is ahead of where Chris Peterson was. Now, this coming, we'll see where it ends at this point. So I'm not that concerned. I mean, we're going to be fine with recruiting. Don't worry about that. We're going to get guys in the portal.
Recruiting's totally changed. The landscape of recruiting is totally.
Yeah, to answer one question, yeah, the high school, it's going to pick up with the staff. Don't worry about it. Part of it is we need to be, I read a post about this, which is very interesting, and I agree with, like, we need to be more of a national brand now as the sport's becoming more national. And so, I still think we want to get guys in state, but.
Well, DeBoer is going to be a national brand because.
Yeah.
We have the longest winning streak in the NCAA right now. Boer's 24-2. Let's see what happens. You know, let's see what happens January 1, January 8. You know, the whole trajectory of the program could change for, you know, an epic proportion.
Okay, here's one. Romo Dunze or Reggie Williams. Look, I mean, I love Rome, but it's Reggie. Another guy has top wide receivers in UW history. Reggie, Rome, Mario, John Ross. I don't know if that's a ranking, but I'm sure you agree with me that it's Reggie.
You mean just if you were to take one, I mean.
Yeah, however, if we win the next two games and Rome – plays a big part of that. I think you have to put Rome over Reggie.
Let's see how it all pans out.
So how
the thing
would you
about
rank...
Reggie is the thing about Reggie is that he was an immediate impact, and then, I mean, it was a different situation too, right? I mean, New Heitzel was a throwing offense picket. They had nothing else. They threw the shit out of the ball. But Reggie was immediate impact, like day one, that first game. What do you have? 134 yards against Michigan in his first game. Yep. So, but the dude was a freak. I mean, when he went to the NFL, he didn't even know how to run a route. That was like, he didn't even run like right routes. I mean, he just, you know, picking to him, it was like, you know, that there's basketball right there on the field. And Reggie tore it up. I mean, he was amazing.
Yeah, I always say Reggie was so good that he should have been on, instead of being when he was a senior in high school, he should have been playing for the 2000 Husky Rose Bowl team.
Yeah.
Like he could have been who were the, like Justin Robbins, Todd Elstrom.
Yeah.
He might have been the best receiver if he was on that team as a senior in high school.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah, he was.
So how would you rate?
Ready.
So how would you rank, I should say, Reggie, Rome, Mario, and John Ross?
I mean, that order's fine. I think, you know, for me, I think Jerome Payton is a guy who could be up there.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's hard because are you ranking in, like, who was the best at their peak or who had a better career?
Yeah. I mean,
the thing about Mario, the thing of, yeah, go ahead.
Your best receivers probably. Yeah. I mean, I like that. I like that ranking. I think that's very reasonable.
Yeah. The thing about the pros, like Mario Bailey, he would have had a huge career if the rules. I mean, he played in the NFL like 30 years ago. I mean, now you can't even like touch a receiver basically. Yeah. It's pass interference.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you could beat the shit out of these little wide receivers.
Right.
And that's why like there were no little wide receivers in the NFL like 30 years ago. Like Wes Welker, right. Julian Edelman, like these guys would not have been in the NFL 30 years ago.
Right. For sure.
But yeah, I agree with those. I think we might have one more. Let me see here. Does Washington have the bags to compete with the big boys in recruit? Yeah, I mean, pretty close to that, I would say. Over or under 15 wins? So we're 13-0. I wonder, you know, Vegas probably has it set at... Well, I don't know at this point if you can still bet on that.
You can. You can bet up to till the first. They're plus 700. So if you bet 200, you can win 1,700. If you bet 500, you can win. If you bet 1,000, you can win $8,000.
So that's on the national championship.
Yeah. Yeah. But you can still bet on it.
So you can bet on the over-under?
Oh, I don't know about that. I mean, just if you're betting that they were going to win the national championship. You can bet on it until the day before the first. Which Michigan, as you tell you, the pro bettors wait till the very last minute because you don't want to bet on it too early because, like, what if something happens in practice or a player gets arrested or whatever?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you want to make sure it's the most complete team as possible before you lay down any serious dough.
Jimmy, last question. This is from Tech. How tired are you of hearing how UW won't be able to run the ball versus Texas?
It's crazy, man. There's a couple posters on Hardcore that are just they're the savants of football, basically, just are saying, and some Texas fans. There's no chance for Washington to run the ball against Texas. I'm just like, why?
Wait, which Husky fan is saying that?
No, not Husky fan, Texas fan. Yeah, no, I don't think there's any Husky fans.
I miss how you called that poster Slicer. What is his name? Post game Orange Slices.
Oh, post game.
You used to call him Slicer.
Oh, did I? Yeah, Slicer. Yeah, he's hopped up on the dogs. He's all in. You know, I've calmed down ever since, you know, you gave me a talking to about. I was just coping those last few games, just the tenseness of Oregon State and the Apple Cup, just, you know, kind of, I felt like Penix after he was waiting for Gross to finish off the game, man. I wanted to put my head in the box too, you know. We were all feeling the tenseness of, you know, the perfect season, getting through the regular season, getting to the conference championship. We were all stressed.
Yeah, I mean, well, I'm and the imagine how the players felt.
Yeah, no, they knew, like, that's what we talked about. As that became more and more of a reality, you know, the more serious, intense things got. And it's just natural too, right? No matter how much you want to just go out there and have fun, but you know you're on the verge of, you know, perfection, so to speak. So, yeah. So, but I think they're playing loose now. And I think we saw that in the championship, and they were focused and ready to play. So I think they'll be ready to go on January 1.
Nice, brother. Well, we got to cut this short. Not short.
Yeah. Short. Shit. We've been going for a long time.
Yeah.
So I'm sure we'll do a preview of the game, and then, you know,
yeah,
then we get the off season.
Yeah. We'll do one with Tech, and presuming we are Sugar Bowl champions, then we'll have to do another.
Yeah. Preview. Oh gosh. Yeah.
So we're not done yet for this season, bro. We are. Yeah, yeah, we are. And maybe we're not done for 20. These pods are not done for 2023, I should say. But as far as playing football games, next year will be our next game.
That's right. Can't wait.
All right, buddy.
All right.
Great work. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We'll talk to you guys again soon. Go Dawgs.
Go Dawgs.